Your Bibles this evening, if you would find the book of Psalms, find if you would the 119th chapter. We're going to begin there. We are going to move about in the scripture, and on this night it'll kind of be a little bit of a more of a Bible study, but I hope and pray that it will be a blessing to you. We started weeks ago a series on the subject of overcoming fear, and I had been praying and asking God for a direction that He would want us to go. And through talking and counseling and praying and meeting with folks and listening to folks, God directed me to the thought of overcoming fear. We began by introducing that the subject of fear is real and relevant and touches all of us. We talked about that there were specific fears that we have, and some of them that could come to the point where we find ourselves being in a position of paralysis or paralyzed by fear. Sometimes people don't fly an airplane because they're afraid it's going to crash. You don't walk under a bridge because you're afraid of this, or you don't go here and you don't try this, you don't do this, all because we are afraid. Fear is a very powerful emotion. It's a very mean master. We talked about living in the prison of fear. And we found that many folks live in a prison of fear. And they don't enjoy life. Or they don't enjoy their families. They don't enjoy the will of God. They don't enjoy serving God. And so fear can bring them into that horrendous prison. We said at the base root of fear is the thought of perishing. When Jesus talked to the disciples in the boat, And he said, "Why are you so fearful?" Their reason was they were afraid of perishing. And that thought of perishing really is at the bottom of fear. Not so much maybe perishing in our life as far as the ending of our life, although that's a powerful motivator. But even our business ventures, our directions, our relationships. A lot of times, it's the fear of perishing that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do, or keeps us from being strong. And so we had this fear. And we talked about how David said, "I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears." I don't know about you, but I praise God that there is deliverance from fear. Growing up, I was a fearful and timid kind of young man. If you would have known me when I was little, I would have never been able to stand in front of people and preach. Today, I hate to be afraid. If I'm afraid of something, it bothers me. And I usually will end up mustering up enough courage to go do what I'm afraid of just because I hate to be afraid. But I had to seek the Lord, and I sought the Lord, and had Him deliver me from that. We talked about the psalmist directing us what we do with fear. He said, "At what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." And then a few verses later, he said, "I will trust in the Lord so that I'm not afraid." So when fear comes, we need to know what to do with fear, where to take fear. You can't just live with fear. You can't tolerate fear. It doesn't know any end. I found that people that become that begin fearful in just a certain area of their life, it's not long where that fear begins to spread out through the different areas of their life. So they may have a direction here they're afraid of, but pretty soon it infiltrates their whole personality, and they become kind of fearful in their approach. And the psalmist said that I will trust in the Lord, and then I won't be afraid. So the ultimate goal and position that they were getting in was that position of trusting the Lord, trusting Him by His Word. And we talked all about that. And I don't want to go over all of that. I don't want to be long tonight. Here's what I would like to do tonight. I would like to share with you kind of what I do in my life. And I want to share with you five verses that I really do believe are valuable for all of us to know and to believe and to practice. And five verses that I think you need to know that would be keys to unlock that prison door and let you out of that cell of fear. So I want you to look at Psalm 119, verse number 49. And here's my Bible text to go for this message. The psalmist is writing here. You know this is a psalm about the Word of God. It's got 176 verses in it. And its direction is upon the power of God's Word. If you look at Psalm 119, if you look at verse 49, the psalmist says, "Remember the Word unto thy servant." He's talking to the Lord here. "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to," what class? Hope. I know this about fear. If you live in the prison of fear, you live a life without hope. Fear will make you surrender your hope. It's just always going to be this way, preacher. I'm just never going to get free of this. I have just learned how to live like this. Now, I want to be very careful in my words, but I want to be very poignant in my words. Physically, humanity knows what handicap means. Physically, our bodies can develop or be born with handicaps. And we learn to live with those handicaps. Some learn to live in a handicap in their mind and their mental abilities. Some in their physical abilities. Some through an accident. Some were born that way. And we simply learn to live a life that around that handicap. But spiritually, we should not have handicaps spiritually. You see, when we received the Lord Jesus Christ, we received all of Him and He is perfect. Amen? And so what happens is we kind of develop spiritually around some of our spiritual handicaps. So I might be a saved person and I might love the Lord, but I tolerate this fearfulness, and I kind of learn how to be a Christian around this fearfulness, which really isn't true. And it really isn't where I've learned to live with it. It really is I'm hindered by it. And it's kind of where I just resign myself that I'm going to go this direction. And fear will rob you of any hope. So the first thing that has to be done is we have to restore hope back to us. Where does hope come from? Well, the psalmist said, hope comes from the Word of God. Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what class? Word of God. So you will never overcome fear if you try to rationalize it in your brain. You'll never overcome fear. If you're going to overcome fear, it is going to be because of the power of the Word of God. And so it is important that you have God's Word and you have it in your heart. Look, if you would, in Psalm 119, look at verse number 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine, say it, heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the psalmist is teaching us the power of the Word of God in our hearts. And you can go to the book of Matthew and you can look at the Lord Jesus when He's in the wilderness being tempted by the devil there. And each time that He's addressed by the devil, He responds with, "It is written." What is He doing? He's using the Word of God, the power of God's Word, to respond to that. That's bringing to Him authority. That's keeping Him from a sinful position. And it also is bringing Him to a position of hope. So the average Christian, when they get under the attack of fear, we begin to rationalize it. We begin to manipulate it. We begin to kind of maneuver our lives around that, and we try to think our way through the process. How can I position myself to where I can live and still have some life, but yet live and tolerate this fear? My friend, you will never get out of the prison of fear that way. You have to understand that it is the power of God's Word that will bring to us that freedom. And so I want to give you five verses tonight that I use when I get confronted with fear. And I want them to be a blessing to you. And I pray that they will. If you have a pen, I suggest you write these down. You might want to run it down in your Bible. But one of the verses that I use is Genesis chapter 26, verse number 24. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 24. I use this verse when it comes to the fear of loneliness. I use this verse when it comes to the fear of second guessing. Am I doing right? I use this verse when life doesn't make sense to me. I use this verse when I've obeyed the Lord and I've done what he said, but then I run into difficulty. The passage in Genesis chapter 26 deals with Isaac. If you look at verse number 1, it says there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Now, let me give you a little text. You remember, Abraham came out of the land of the Ur of Chaldees, and he got out there into that land that God promised him, and the first thing God sent was a famine. He did not send the famine to destroy Abraham. He sent the famine to test Abraham. He wanted to prove to Abraham that God was who he said he was and that God was able to care for him. But Abraham panicked. Abraham got afraid. And so the first thing Abraham did was he didn't let God do what God wanted to do. He ran down into Egypt. Now, anytime you read the word Egypt in the Bible, it's symbolic of the world. So instead of Abraham waiting upon God, Abraham turned and went down to the world to answer to meet his need. He went there out of a fear of self-preservation. When he got into Egypt, he was still afraid. Now watch how fear, I said earlier that fear spreads to every area of your life. He gets into Egypt and he now he's afraid that they're going to kill him. Why would they kill him? Because his wife was beautiful. And he thought Pharaoh would kill him and take his wife for himself. So now his fear brings him down to this position where he thinks he'll be safe. He gets there and he's still afraid. And now fear is forcing him to lie. And now he's got to be dishonest with Pharaoh. And it's just continuing to infiltrate all of the area. And had not God himself intervened, boy, Abraham would have been in trouble. So God is telling Isaac, Abraham's son, don't make the mistake your dad made. Look at verse number 1. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. Verse 3. I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto thee thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He did what God told him to do. If you were to read verses 7 all the way down to verse number 20, you will find that in doing so, he runs into difficulty. He runs into problems. He runs into the same thought process with his wife. He runs into a striving with the herdsmen of Gerar. And he's fighting and he's doing all of these things. And finally, when you get down to verse number 23, he's found a place in the land of Beersheba. And look at verse number 24. This is the verse I use all the time. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am, say those two words, with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You know, there are some times that I have got to have hope, and I have got to have God's word on the fact that God is present with me. There will be times, church, that you will be called by God to do something, and you will obey God. And in the process of obeying God, you are going to run into trial and test and tribulation. And you're going to begin to think, man, did I do right? God, did you forget about me? God, is this how life is going to be? God, am I going to be destroyed? Am I going to perish in all of this? And there are times that, man, you just got to remember that God promised that He would forever be with us. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 13. You ought to write that down. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. There's the great promise where it said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so one of the reasons that I don't have to be afraid is because I have the eternal presence of God with me. If you do, say amen. But you would be amazed at how many people rationalize their way into a position of loneliness. And they forget about that God is with them. They forget about the promise of God. By the way, you ought to write down Joshua chapter number 1 beside that verse 2 as well. Because God's promise to Joshua was, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." I love that. There's times I go and say, "Now God, you were with my dad, but I know you too, and I need you to be with me. God, I know you've done this before, but I need you to do this now." And so one of the reasons I don't have to be afraid is because I have the promised presence of God continually in my life. By the way, where does God live in your life? In your what? In your heart. In your heart. "Fear not, I will be with thee." By the way, "I will never leave you, and I will never, ever forsake you." Now, the devil's going to tell you opposite. The devil's going to tell you God's forgot about you. The devil's going to tell you that God's not going to be able to care for you. The devil's going to tell you that you're lonely. The devil's going to tell you that you made a mistake. The devil's going to tell you that you're in very deep. You better learn how to say, "Oh, no, no, no. See, God promised that He would never leave me nor ever forsake me." I'll tell you, that's a key that will unlock the door of the prison cell. I want you to go, if you would, to 1 Kings to find the second verse here. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17 is a powerful verse. I find myself using this a lot, especially when it comes to the provision of God. The first one was for the presence of God. Here's the provision of God. I hope you know the story of the widow woman at Zarephath. I hope you read it. I hope you meditate it. I hope you understand it. You understand that Elijah is the prophet. You understand that his life is in danger. You understand that he is sent to Zarephath and God moves upon a lady to care for him. And in verse number 8, we have a conversation here that takes place between Elijah and this widow woman. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake." You're asking me to bring something I don't have. "But a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and do what, class? Die." And look at the audacity of the man of God here, what he says. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake," what class? First. Elijah says, "I know what you have. I understand you just got a little bit. I understand you're going to make a meal for you and your son, and you think you're going to die. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to make me, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you and commanding you, make me one first." Now that "me" was not a selfish position. That's him as the man of God. Look at the promise that Elijah gives to her, verse number 13. "And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." The promise of provision. Here's another "fear not" you're going to need. You're going to need to know how to give to God first. you're going to need to know that verse. You're going to need to know that God is due His money and His yielding of our life, and He is to be first. Many of God's folks live in the prison of fear, especially when it comes to things or it comes to finances. And life is always going to be testing to you. Now, this is the Sunday night crowd. And most the heart of our church is here. But you know as well as I do that the financial temptation on us not to give God what belongs to Him first is always there. You'll sit down and you'll look at your bills. You'll sit down and you'll look at your dreams. You'll sit down and look at your kids going to college. You'll sit down and you'll look at your finances. And you'll look at all that you have. And then you will look back here at your responsibility, what you have to do before God. And there will be a battle that will take place in your heart and your mind. And there will be this ferocious attack by the enemy. But you're going to need to know this verse. The verse that corresponds with this in the New Testament is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There are times that I sit in my house and I look at all of my bills. And then I know my responsibility to give to the Lord, His tithe and to give. And I don't ever get tempted on the tithe. It's that stinking offering that I get tempted on. Well, Lord, everybody's giving to those Haiti kids. I don't need to give to those Haiti kids. Yeah, man, my missions. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I can't afford to give all of my missions this week, so let me just give a little bit, and then throughout the course of the year, I'll make it up. Am I the only one that has these battles? Could you help me by just saying something? Lord, I'm good for it. I'm good for it. You see, I'm writing the check right now, but I'm post-dating it. But I wrote the check. Man, I get that same temptation, church. And then I remember that little woman. And I think if that little woman would have said, no, not you first, buddy. We're going to go make ours. What would have happened to that little woman? She'd have done what? She'd have died. I take that offering. I write it all out. And usually I'll hold it up to the Lord and I'll say this. You promised. And I'm going on that promise. If you let me down, I'm going to tell everybody you let me down. But I'm giving you yours first. And I want you to know something, church. He's never let me down. You better learn how to go with that verse that talks about giving Him His first. Or otherwise, you live in the prison of fear, in the prison of finances. And it's a lifelong sentence. And you can make all the deals you want to with God. But God's not interested in dealing with us. God is interested in providing for us. And God says, give me mine first. We need that verse. We need that verse. Make me a cake first. Third area that I use these verses on that I need for the fear nots is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. Go, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 6. These are all wonderful Bible stories and truths in here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. You know the history or the setting of this. You know that Elisha is here, and you know that he's surrounded. They're coming for his life. In chapter 6, they realize that the man of God is helping Israel, and they want to kill the man of God. And so the king sets out over to destroy him. And if you look at verse number, I wish I had time to read all the text, but I won't. Pick up, if you would, at verse number 12. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And the king said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore, not Alabama, by the way. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Now you need to get the scene. They're totally surrounded. There's no way out. They absolutely are going to be destroyed. Look at verse 16. And he answered, Fear not. This is Elisha speaking. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Pastor, do you believe that? Yes, sir, I believe it. Round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. The third area that I wrestle with, that I need the word of God for hope when it comes to the fear not, is not only for God's presence and his provision, but also for his protection. His protection. There are times, man, when you are going to have to step out and trust the Lord. There are times when it's going to seem like your life is completely surrounded by people that are out to destroy you. There are times you are going to feel like you are outnumbered. There are times when you are going to feel that you are not going to make it out alive. But it's during those times that you got to lift up your hands and your voice to God and say, Hey, Lord, there's more of us than there is of them, right? They used to say, God and I makes a majority. I got news for you. God is a majority of himself. And there are sometimes, man, in your Christian walk, if you're going to get out of that prison of fear, you're simply just going to have to trust in the protection of God. Romans chapter 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. There are times when you're not going to be able to see a way out. Let me just teach you something here. And I try to do this all the time. We look for things like a way, a direction, an escape. But what we forget is, who is the way? According to the Bible, who is the way? Jesus is the way. He's the hope. He is the escape. He is the provider. And we're always looking, how am I going to make it out of here? Okay, if I do this and this and this, I think I see a pathway through this. No, my friend, there's not a pathway through anything. There's the person of Christ. And if you search for a pathway and a way in all of this and try to manipulate your life, you're going to be confined to that little prison cell. You'll be afraid. It's not that. It's I look up to him and say, my Redeemer liveth. He's all-powerful God. God, I'm trusting you. That's it. That's all I got to stand on. By the way, he's plenty to stand on. You're going to have to let the Word of God sometimes, and you're going to have to fall on your knees, and you're going to say, hey, I remind you, there's more of us than there are them. There's more of you than there is them. Fourth verse is found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. I love this verse. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Turn there, read it. Pastor, we don't know how to find Isaiah. I guess if you're not turning, you don't know how to find it. That's fine, no problem. I'll read it to you. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. I use this when it deals with the power of God. Presence, the provision, the protection of God. Verse number 10, he says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Aren't those great words? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Whenever God speaks of his right hand, he's talking about his power. Look at verse number 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Listen, sometimes You're going to have to just go back and remind God of his great power. Remind yourself of his great power. The devil loves to show his teeth, and he loves to bark real loud. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we forget how strong our God is. We forget how willing our God is. And we look at the world and we look at our enemies and we look at how life kind of sets up and we say, well, there's nothing more powerful than the electric company. They can turn my lights out. Or there's nothing more powerful than the doctor. Whatever he says is the truth. Let me tell you something. There's someone called the great physician. He is the truth. Amen. He is the truth. And so there are times you live in this little prison of fear because you just associate possibility with human strength. Well, Pastor, it's just not humanly possible. Let me tell you, when you get there, you're in a good place. When you get there, you're close to being broken. When you look at your situation and you say that it's just not humanly possible, could you remember that there's nothing too hard for our God? And look, we got to remember how powerful our God is. He is all powerful. And he said, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will guide thee with my right hand. I need that sometimes. I need to be reminded of His presence. I need to be reminded of His provision. I need to be reminded of His protection and of His power. And then I love, and you're right there. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Boy, does this, where I use these words, think about these words, love these words. Look, if you would, at Isaiah 43. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art, say it, class, mine. Would you come to the book of Corinthians? Would you come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, please? Turn there if you would. I would love for you to read these. We'll be done. I got 3 minutes. I'm keeping a close eye on my clock. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a what class? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Sometimes I just have to be encouraged that I belong to Him. I belong to Him. I need to be reminded of His presence, of His provision, of His protection, and of His power, but that I'm His possession. I'm His. I belong to Him. Let me ask you a question. Do you belong to Jesus? So help me preach the end of this message. I have 4 kids. You have children. Name me some one-word benefits that children have because of their parents. What was it? Guidance? Guidance. What else? Inheritance. Protection. Love. Trust. Good looks. I like that one. Because when God looks at me, He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's good looking, brother. What else do kids have because of their parents? Love, life, their name, possession, security, a home, money, confidence. All of these things because they belong to us. And because we belong to Him, We have all of those things. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, how do you get out of that prison of fear? You'll never get out of it rationalizing with your brain. You get out of it from the power of the Word of God. You're going to need to be reminded of His presence, His provision. You're going to be reminded of His power. You're going to need to be reminded that you're His possession. And I forgot the fifth one, but I'm going to check it right now. Of His provision and His protection. And these are the things that will help you. These verses will empower. I think you ought to write them down. It's miserable to be in the prison of fear, especially when you don't have to. Use these the next time you're afraid. In whatever area you're afraid, go back to that verse and say, Lord, You told me not to be afraid because You would do this, and I'm holding You to it. Shall we pray?